broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico. Phil Hendry.
3 weeks ago when I started, I thought he was probably born in this country.
I have to tell you that I live paycheck to paycheck like most Americans.
Those kids who are most at risk, kids with autism, kids with mental illness.
Surgery is kind of the last.
Returning military veterans. They laid their life down for you and for me.
You're telling people that a nuclear baby is coming.
That's right, a nuclear baby is coming here, Shep, so... Well, anyway, until the nuclear baby arrives, welcome to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. This is a show where truth is our bitch. This is a show by patriots, for patriots, and we go places other talk shows wish they could, but they cannot. And if you don't believe me, just ask them. Oh, yeah. And every night we join together, we lock arms, and we march over top of the so-called progressive and liberal agenda that they are trying to, they are still, even though it doesn't work and never will work, jam down our throats. For instance, the budget deal. And we're going to be talking here in just a moment with Chris Norton, who is a telemarketer from Redondo Beach, California. He has aspirations of his own to run for political office. He has been involved in a lot of different businesses, and he's a Democrat. And he is going to be talking with us from that particular point of view on the government shutdown that we keep hearing about. And let's remember, folks, when they talk about a government shutdown, and this is bad enough, but the fact is only federal workers are affected. You and I, we don't work for the government, so when the government says we can't issue any more paychecks, that's not necessarily something that's going to bring a tear to my eye, other than the fact, of course, that there are real people with families who rely on that. And in good faith, they took a job with the federal government. They expect a paycheck. Well, this is what you have to expect when spending is so utterly and obscenely out of control that someone's got to step in and say no more. And guess who gets stepped on? You got it. So will our troops get paid? Let's talk to Chris Norton about that in just a moment. Plus, we'll tell you what got the trailer to The Hangover yanked from theaters across this country. Hangover 2, the new Hangover. Chris Norton and Clara Bingham joining us next hour, the wife of Pastor William Renick, 877-876-7445, here on Radio 4 Patriots by Patriots, 877-876-PHIL. And I want to tell you that our Phil Hendry Show website is open, and we have just updated a bunch of character sections. If you're looking for downloads, of course, we have hundreds and hundreds of downloads, and they're numbering into the thousands now. So if you want downloads of our radio show, past, present, and dare I say future, head on over to our website and take a look at the character clips especially, which we are now updating and turning into downloads, as well as all of the hours that we have done over the past years are now downloads, and those show logs will be loaded in. So our website is becoming, I think it's going to be honest with you, it's going to be an example. It's going to be the prototype for other websites, other radio shows, because we have an enormous archive that we're working on very, very hard, updating all the time. So visit us there at philhendryshow.com. Now, thank you very much for allowing me that little bit of... Yeah, like commercial announcement. It's not a commercial announcement. It's just an announcement about our website. Our affiliate spotlight tonight, San Antonio, KRPT 92.5 FM. And in Melbourne, Florida, WIXC 1060 AM. And all great radio stations here on the Phil Hendry Show website. So the House has passed a measure to keep the government open another week and pay the troops, but Obama has threatened to veto it, which will likely result in a shutdown. In a moment, we're going to be talking here with Chris Norton, an aspiring member of the United States Congress, as well as a private businessman. But first, we'll hear about the budget. As you know, the president addressed the nation today, but here on the Senate floor, before the president said anything, is Senator Mike Lee. He's a Republican from Utah. He wonders if the president is aiming for a government shutdown himself.
The question we need to ask ourselves is, why does the president of the United States, President Barack Obama, want a government shutdown? A few months ago, after the election, but before the new Congress took over, when the president had both houses of Congress under the control of his party, why did he opt not to pass a full budget for fiscal year 2011. That was the first seed that he sowed in the direction of a government shutdown. I submit that it was one that was either irresponsible on the one hand or deliberate and malicious on the other, intending to bring about a sequence of events that would culminate inevitably in a government shutdown.
All right, so Chris Norton joining us. Chris, welcome to the program.
It's my pleasure, thank you.
And tell me what you do for a living.
Yes, sir, I'm a telemarketer for a pharmaceutical company in Manhattan Beach, California, and I'm also a part-time filmmaker. I've been involved in adult film for quite some time.
Adult films, and you're going to be running for state assembly, right?
State assembly, hopefully state senate, but state assembly for sure.
And with that background in adult films, I guess we could get into you know, how that might or might not hurt you.
Well, I think part of the country, you know, part of the state I come from, I think that people will understand that I'm a professional. And it's about being a professional, and I'm not really. This is not about, you know, being anything that's illegal or anything like that.
Now, you're a Democrat, right?
Yes, I am. Registered, and I would say that I'm pretty liberal on most every other topic. But the government shutdown, I'm very, very much behind President Obama because we do have to, get it together in terms of the spending and what they're spending things on, you know.
All right, but you're in favor of shutting the government down.
I think if the Congress and if Boehner and the rest of the Republicans don't look at, what they're asking for and what the things that they want to have, then, we have to do something. Because right now, we're not getting together at all on a spending bill, you know. And
what is, in your opinion, what's the if you shut the government down, what are you going to get besides a lot of bad feelings?
Well, I'm not.
I mean, your party.
Well, I don't think they're going to do it because it means that the troops are not getting paid. See, the Republicans have this. They use the military and they use the troops to make themselves look like they're patriotic, and that's fine. But that means that the troops are not going to get. If they want to shut the government down, the troops are not going to get paid. And if the troops don't get paid, then you got a lot of wars that you have to fight. And those wars they're not going to get fought, you know.
All right. Well, so you're saying essentially the following thing: that if the Republicans decide to shut down the government, you will veto, or you would support the president vetoing any help for the troops.
Yes, sir. And
do you really think President Obama would do that?
Well, he's already said he's going to veto any pay for troops, and I agree with that. I think that first of all, the troops.
And what do you think the troops are going to think about that?
Well, I think if you think about it, the troops are probably in favor of that because they're in the middle of a war and they're in the middle of having their lives threatened. And I think they probably would say, if I don't get paid, then I'm obviously not going to fight, and that's probably okay with them, you know.
And what about their families at home?
What do you mean?
Well, what I'm saying to you, Chris, is the following thing. If you decide that a government shutdown all the way, including not paying the troops, is what you would endorse President Obama to do as a Democrat, what about the families that depend upon that money, the military families?
Well, I mean, there's a lot of families that depend upon federal money, and that sort of goes without saying. But, I mean, they're not in Afghanistan fighting. You know, they're not in Iraq fighting. The soldiers did.
And no, but they're the family members of these soldiers. They're the families. These are the people the soldiers want the money to go to.
Well, then the soldiers could certainly make arrangements to have that money transported to them. But the fact is, they're not the ones that are being shipped over to fight, and so the paychecks have to go to the soldiers, and that's where they would go. But we're going to shut down those paychecks. And that means the soldiers don't get paid. If the soldiers don't get paid, then the wars the Republicans want to fight and all that, you know, you can't fight a war if a guy says, well, where's my paycheck? Because I'm not getting out of bed for this, you know. You know, it's like a friend of mine said, I got out of third grade for this, you know.
No, I understand what you're thinking is here, because we're talking with Chris Norton, who is a possible candidate for state assembly in California as a Democrat, on the likelihood of a House, the House and the Senate, basically not reaching any kind of an agreement on a budget, and the government gets shut down. Republicans seem to want to do that because that would emphasize and to the country the need for some real serious budget cutting. You, Chris, believe the strategy to defeat the Republicans has to do with not paying our troops. And these are the men and women, not only here at home, but, you know, people that are over there in Afghanistan, they're over there in Iraq, and they're defending the country, and not to mention the Navy, the Air Force, deployed all over the world. Now, I think it sounds like, you know, a strategy that you would think up. Now, let's get serious here. Not paying those men and women who are in harm's way, they're not over here working for the DMV or the Department of Housing and Urban Development or the whatever, you know, whatever it is that I personally have an issue with. Maybe you don't.
Well, I think all of those cabinet posts that you mentioned are very vital, and I think the military is very vital. But if those cabinet posts don't get, it's not going to get paid. Then you can't. You're not going to pay the military. I mean, what's the point? You know, if you're not going to pay the cabinet or the government, that the departments are. You know,
the point is this: that there is a very real risk to the well-being, to the health, and to the safety of those men and women. The point is that they have families back home, thousands and thousands of miles away from them. The point is that they have a job like no other. There's no other job in the world, with the exception of police officers, that asks you to pledge your life, if need be, to fulfilling the job. Military and cops, that's it. Now, we're asking a hell of a lot of them, and whether or not we have our heads up our rear end.
Well, Mr. Henry, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but that's just not how the game's going to be played. I mean, if the Republicans are saying, you know, that we need some budget cuts and we need to really get it together and have a big, you know, let's just slash the budget and all this. And it's real big talk, you know, and it sounds real good. And everybody's going to go home, you know. And
no, it's not big talk. It's not, you understand, it's very necessary.
Well, I was reading some things. People have been talking. I was on talking to Michael Moore. I know you don't like him, but...
No, I don't. I think he's an idiot.
Well, you may think he's an idiot, but he realizes, as a lot of us do, that there's plenty of money. I mean, we're not out of...
You know, that's another thing I'd like to ask you guys someday. When you say there's plenty of money, when George Bush was president, there wasn't enough money. Now there's plenty of money. I don't know what kind of arithmetic are you doing?
Well, there wasn't enough money when George Bush was president. There wasn't enough money, you know, but now there is. And the reason why there is because we realize, you know, that we can cut the military pay, and we can, you know, if we're going to do what they say they want to do, the Republicans want to do, then we cut a military pay.
And you, so this is the thing, man. You are leaving men and women's families without any support, okay?
That's true, Mr. Henry, but the other...
I understand about the other, okay? I get it about the other. Maybe if it sounds like I'm a little bit parochial here, or I'm being a little chauvinistic on behalf of the military, it's because they are in the most dangerous of jobs, and while this country is twisting in the breeze with its head up its ass, we're asking these young people, men and women, to serve overseas, and you want to cut their money off.
That's what the Republicans want to do. You know,
the Republicans don't want to do that because they want to pass a measure that would pay the troops and keep the government open another week.
Well, that's just not how the ball game's played. If they want to play this all the way down the line, and they're going to have to realize, you know, you want to shut it down, go shut it down. Okay, you don't want to shut it down, we don't have to shut it down. But that's how the game's played, you know, and I think these Republicans have bit off maybe a little more shoe than they could chew.
So you would really, really endorse not paying the military at all?
Absolutely, without question. That's how we make these Republicans sweat bullets. And I know you have conservative listeners, and I'm not trying to offend them or anything, but by the same token, you know, this is a really good strategy, and this is going to make them, you know, probably those people and stand and take notice of something.
All right, Chris Norton joining me here on the Phil Hendry Show, running for state assembly here in the state of California, a Democrat who believes that shutting the government down, if that's what the Republicans want, they can have it, and that would include not paying our military, active duty military, those families at home, the troops overseas, no money. And he believes that'll get the so-called Republicans, the conservatives, the whatever, Tea Party, it'll get them off their ass and moving. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. World-famous Phil Hendry Show, back with Chris Norton. Next hour, we've got Clara Bingham here on the Phil Hendry Show. We'll be right back.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. To call the Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Chris Norton from Redondo Beach, California, is going to be running for for state senate. And we're talking about the looming government shutdown. What is Obama's strategy here? You're saying that if the government is shut down at on Friday, no money for anybody.
Well, there's no strategy, Mr. Hendry. I mean, the fact is that the president is not part of the legislative branch. You know, that's one thing I'm always telling people, you know, and a lot of people that I talk with, you know, I'm always saying to them, you know, the president is not the legislative branch. He does not, and the president does not pass bills to appropriate money. That's what Congress does. And President Obama has said from the beginning, okay, you're the Congress, you appropriate money, start appropriating, you know. It's like that old saying we used to say in movie, you know, when I was working in the movie business, you know, you're the producer, produce. You know, you're the director, direct. You know, you're the actor, act. You know, you're the makeup artist, you know, makeup, you know, do makeup. Makeup artist, that, you know. And so what I said to the people on the Democratic Committee here in California who are funding, I said, President Obama is saying to them, be the Congress, appropriate money. Oh, you can't do that? Oh, that's really too bad. Guess what? Shut down. You know?
Yeah, but and that is understood on the Republican side, too, but the government shutdown means you guys are perfectly happy with not paying the troops, and the Republicans want to extend that.
Well, that's the Republicans' weakness, that they want to have a budget, you know, they want to have a shutdown, but they don't want to do it, they don't want to go all the way, because they don't want to shut down a military, they won't pay the military, and, you know, and that's their weakness. They're not hard, they're not really, you know, sticking to their guns. So President Obama's going to teach the Republicans, okay, you want to have a shutdown, well, the troops won't get paid, and the families of the troops won't get paid. And, you know, you're going to have the wives and the children of men who are fighting in Afghanistan and everything, standing out there on the street, you know, what am I bid, you know, for, I mean, I didn't even want to go there. I didn't want to go there.
Well, what are you referring to?
Well, I think you understand what I'm talking about. I'm talking about families that can't afford to eat go to desperate measures. And while a man's fighting in Afghanistan and his wife's on the street.
What are you talking about, man? Are you talking about prostitution?
I don't know. But if that's what Republican wants.
No Republican and no Democrat is going to want something like that. Our number 877-876-PHIL. That's a ridiculous extension of the logic. I mean, that's almost satire. It's too far out to even imagine. Here is Doug in Rockford, Illinois on the Phil Hendry Show. Hold on, Doug. I got to get you over here on the right side bank. Go ahead, sir. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Chris Norton.
Yeah, that's crazy. These people need to be paid. They're putting their lives on the line for our country.
Wait. Why do they need to be paid?
They need to be paid. No,
there's no money.
No, the politicians don't need to be paid. Those are the ones who don't need to be paid. The people who are putting their lives on the line for our country are the ones who need to be paid. No,
but they won't.
No,
be paid.
They need.
They won't.
Yes,
paid.
They will
no,
be. They should be,
happen.
And they deserve
no,
every bit of it.
Down.
They deserve every
they're
bit of it.
The
they do.
Down.
They deserve every bit of it.
You can talk all you want, but they're going to shut the government down. They won't get paid.
The bill that was passed here. Okay,
that's
the president vetoing the bill.
The press corps needs to be paid. That's the last thing that doesn't need to be paid. Our people who are fighting for our country. That's the last thing that needs to be paid.
Are you Republican? Are you Republican or are you Democrat?
I'm an independent, but I don't like
that. That means you're Republican. You're Republican.
Oh, yeah, right.
And if you're Republican, then... get out of here. He's Republican.
Call the Patriot Hotline now, 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
And welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show, every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. And I have with me here on Radio 4 Patriots by Patriots, Chris Norton, who is running for the California State Senate. And we're talking about this looming government shutdown or this budget. What we have is a budget battle. Now, there are conservatives out there that want to cut the budget. There are liberals out there that have their own idea on how to deal with budgetary issues. The point here, though, is that the House Republicans want to keep at least paying the troops, and you, as a Democrat, say no.
Well, I mean, President Obama's going to veto that.
No, I know the president's going to veto that, but I want to get to the reasons why you feel we can't at least pay our troops.
We can't pay our troops, Mr. Henry, because we have a government shutdown. And if you're going to have a government shutdown, then guess what? You know, I mean, I'm sorry to have to say this, but we have a lot of Republicans who like to talk a talk and not walk a walk, you know. And if Republicans are saying, okay, government shutdown, okay, let's do it. I mean, let's do it, you know. I don't know if you ever saw the movie, it's called A Tombstone, and at the very end of it, Doc Holliday is fighting Johnny Ringo, and he was expecting to fight Wyatt Earp. Anyway, he goes, okay, Lunger, let's do it. You know, and
what do you mean, okay, Lunger?
That's what they call people with tuberculosis. So that's what he's saying to Doc Holliday, let's do it, you know. Throw down. Skin that smoke wagon, you know, and that's what Democrats are saying. Go ahead and skin it. Skin your smoke wagon, you know. And it sounds obscene.
Yeah, it does sound a little obscene,
But what I'm trying to say is...
No, what you're putting this in Wild West terms. There are families, listen to me, please, sir. There are families that rely on that money. They are the families of soldiers that are fighting, soldiers, some of them getting more seriously wounded, some of them dying, and they need that money.
Well, they're not getting the money. The soldiers are getting the money. I understand they're members of family, but the money doesn't say pay to the order of the family of Private, you know, Bill Wilson or Bob, you know. It says to Private Bill Bobson. So it doesn't say, you know.
No, but the families get the money, you know. These guys get these checks. These checks are sent directly into the family account, okay?
Well, unfortunately, Mr. Henry, the troops right now are overextended these wars. I'm sure many of these troops are like, you know, this is good. Don't pay me, but that means I don't fight, you know.
And that means that their families don't eat.
I think, you know, this is the way the game is played. And I think you have to, you know, excuse me for saying this, I think you got to, you know, hard up a little bit, you know.
And well, we're talking about children, you know, and we're talking about families, and we're talking about wives, and we may be talking about very young families. And to tell them to hard up or butch up.
Well, it's hardcore, you know. If you're a member of family of a troop, you got to be hardcore like them.
Have you been in the military?
I was going to be National Guard, and they said that they were full up, and I was very disappointed. And
you were going to be what, National Guard, and they said they were full up?
Yes, sir.
877-876-PHIL, as we talk here with Chris Norton, let's go to Beth. We have Beth here in Burlington, North Carolina. Go ahead, Beth, you're on the Phil Henry Show as we're talking here with... Chris Norton, ma'am. Sorry, I'm taking time getting your call in here, but we had a malfunctioning phone bed there, and I want to make sure I get you up on the right side. Go ahead, Beth.
Yes, yes. Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am. Very well.
Yes, thank you. I don't know who your guest is, but I can tell you a couple things.
My name is Chris Norton. Chris Norton.
Please tell me.
My name is Chris Norton, and I'm with the California Pharmaceutical.
Well,
okay, thank you.
That's very nice. Thank you. I was an active duty military wife at the time of, first of all, retired for many years. Where the support system for the soldiers and sailors, the support system for the person that is actually doing that hard work that protects our country. We're very proud of the work that they do. I work. And during the last, I want to tell you two things, firstly. First, during the last government shutdown, I went through that.
Can I hold on for just a second? If you wouldn't mind, Beth, would you? Mr. Norton, I can hear you breathing.
I'm sorry, I have a kind of a sinus condition.
Yeah, if you could move the phone away, I appreciate it.
Yes, sir.
Go ahead, Beth.
Thank you. During the last military shutdown, government shutdown, I was active duty military wife, if you will. And first of all, I just want your guest or whomever he is to know that the government paid the military. And there's a reason for that, because our country believes in supporting our troops.
Right, right.
And by supporting, please stop. Mm-hmm. By supporting
That was the host. That wasn't me. You just told the host to shut up.
Well, no, she did not.
Stop talking. To support the troops, you support their support system. And that is their families and their children. The last thing you want a man in the line of... Please stop talking.
It's the budgetary,
in
the budgetary line process,
of duty,
ma'am.
Is to worry about
in the military. You can't tell me what to do.
Yes, the lady's talking.
The last thing a military man wants, well, okay, I'm sorry, you want one so you don't know this, but the last thing they need while they are performing their job and their service in duty and honor for our country is to worry about the people at
if
home.
They're not getting paid,
stop.
And they're not doing it.
I also,
to do that job.
I worked,
okay.
And I had children.
Yeah, well,
and
say you did, I'm not really sure. What was your rank? What branch were you?
Who's the host of this show? Because
were you Air Force or what? You know, what was it?
Well,
Mr. Norton, well, she's trying to make a point here.
Well, when do I get to talk?
When the lady is finished making her point.
Well, she's sitting here giving a speech. I was just trying to say that I respect the military.
I've gotten your point. I've been listening.
These are tough times, and the budget is out of control. And if we got to cut the budget, then everybody...
The budget is going to resolve
itself. Ma'am, here's a phrase that you use in the military a lot.
I'm sorry.
It's called a big...
You know,
ma'am,
just
because you was in the military... Just because you was in the military doesn't mean you get to tell people when they can talk and when they can't. You're not in the military anymore.
I understand that, but I would think that civilized human beings can have a give and take without talking over top of each other.
Yes, thank you. He did not let me finish one sentence.
I'll talk.
That's really rude, especially,
yeah,
you know what?
Did.
I've given more in service for my country by supporting a military man my entire life. And
well, I thought you said you were in the military.
And I lied.
You said you...
Didn't you even know about...
and were you in the military? No. Did he die? No. So those are two things.
What has that got to do with anything?
Actually, you don't know the answer to either one of those questions.
Was you? Was you or was you not?
Was you? Boy, you got some really, you know, you're going to be running for a public office in the state of California.
A question from a person who can't speak English. Phil, I'll speak with you another time. I don't know who this crazy guest here is.
Ma'am, I think that you have not answered any questions. I think you've avoided them. And my response to the lady would be this. First of all, we respect our military, but if we don't have any money to pay them, we don't have any money to pay them. And that's just going to be hardcore. And I don't want to be hardcore about it. But I'm sure you understand that, you know, if you have to be hardcore about a lot of this. And
no, I understand what you're saying about hardcore. Let's go to Tricia in Cloverdale, California. Tricia, you're on the Phil Henry Show with Chris Norton. Go ahead, please.
Hi.
Hi.
Thanks for taking my call. I have one thing to say, that listening to this conversation and listening to Mr. North, who is running for my state legislation. I just want to say, I'm a Democrat, and, sir, I will absolutely not vote for you, period. You're interruptive, and your stand on not paying the troops, and that's just the way the game is played. I am so appalled and so offended by that. I had to call because I'm just beside myself. I can't even believe it. And I will not vote for you. And that's all I have to say.
That's President Obama's stand. So if you don't like his stand, that's what he's saying. He's saying he's going to veto the bill because they have to pull budget in.
You know what? That's not what I'm hearing from Obama. That's what I'm hearing from you. And
let me look at the. This is Phil.
I'm a Democrat. And that's all I have to say.
Let me look at the news story here. The news story says that President Obama, the House of Representatives, passed a spending measure Thursday that would fund the Department of Defense. The president has threatened to veto that. Now, why would the president veto that?
Because the president understands that if we are talking about getting a budget done, then we got to get a budget done, and we can't have we can't have no pussyfooting around, and I really am taking a hard stand on the budget, but let's pass this bill for the troops. Let's pass another bill for another one. It's pussyfooting, and it's sort of a pussy willow, kind of willow weep for me deal. And what I'm saying is the president's taking a very hard stand, which I do support, and that is the following thing. You want to have budget? That's great. If you want to walk a walk, then you got to, if you want to talk a talk, you got to walk a walk. And I said to the president, I believe that President Obama's doing that.
All right, so what you're saying to me is the president wants a budget so bad that by Friday he doesn't care who doesn't get paid.
That's exactly right. And that one lady that called up and said,
even our troops, the president of the United States, President Obama, this guy is, and I say this with all respect, he's the president, but he's always talking about how much he cares about the troops. He's always talking about how much they give. He's always talking about this and always talking about that. And he can't have something, anything, to help these families. Everybody's hurting,
Well, that's another thing. I mean, it's a recession, yeah, but it's a recession for everybody, not just a handful. You won't get a handful. There's places where you can go get a handful, but it's got nothing to do with the budget. It's got to do with other, things that have to do with sex. But I mean,
Okay, fine. 877. I don't what you were attempting to say there, sir. I'm not really clear. Here is Dan in Camp Pendleton. This is a Marine Corps base here in California. So, Dan, go ahead. You're on with Chris Norton.
All right. Hello, Mr. Henry.
Yes, sir.
All right. I just want to call in to kind of comment on what I'm hearing over here, which is a bunch of garbage from this gentleman that you're speaking with.
Well, right. I'm a Democrat,
Excuse me?
Well, I mean, my political philosophy is as a Democrat. I mean, you're probably Republican,
All right. Well, whatever the political affiliation is, all right, I don't affiliate myself with any political party, but I am a Marine. All right, I've gone to Afghanistan, I've been to Iraq, and I want to know why you think it's okay to shut down pay to military families. Why would you advocate something like that?
Chris, you're on.
Well, it's all right. I believe I've stated it, which is the following thing. The government of the United States is in a budgetary or monetary crisis. We're overextended. We have a lot of bills to pay. We can't keep, going to the till and pulling out, writing ourselves IOUs. And if you really, really want to get serious, which I believe the president wants to do, then you have to bite the bullet sometime. And biting the bullet means, you're in the military, you're a Marine. So, I'm not going to make a joke, but if you had to eat something that wasn't food, what would it be? Probably be a bullet. You'd have to bite it. Sir?
Yeah.
Okay, that's not funny. That's not funny. What's your point?
Not funny.
No, it's not funny. Bite the bullet. I get what the metaphor means. You're saying, in other words, Chris, that everybody, as they say in the military, everybody, it's a big crap sandwich.
That's right, and everybody got to take a bite.
But these are men and women that are fighting, in some instances dying, and on top of that, hundreds of tens of thousands of miles away from their families. You made some cavalier remark last half hour about, got to hit the street.
Well, no, I'm saying, I didn't mean that.
Okay, hold on 1 second. Do you even understand where the term bite the bullet comes from, sir? Do you understand where that term comes from?
I think it comes from, a guy bit the bullet to find out whether it's real or not.
What?
No, not at all. No, the term bite the bullet comes from what they used to do back during Civil War times when they used to amputate limbs.
They didn't have sedation. What they used to do was they would put a bullet between their teeth, and to deal with the pain, they would bite the bullet while they hacked their limbs off. That's what bite the bullet is. Okay? Now that you understand that, go ahead and continue on.
Isn't that what we're talking about? I mean, we're talking about, you know...
What are we talking about? No, what are we... No, that's not what we're talking about.
You know, and
well, what about these families? I don't understand your thinking here, Chris, where you say that, you know, the money goes to the troops, the families didn't do anything. What is that supposed to mean?
They're not over there fighting.
Look, my family isn't doing this. I'm doing this, but the paycheck goes to my family. This gentleman here, paycheck goes to his family. So these guys, what are they supposed to do with a paycheck?
It's legally supposed to go to them, and our feelings should get mailed to Afghanistan or wherever they are.
You're going to mail a guy a paycheck to Afghanistan, and what's he going to do with that?
The point that I'm making here, well, you guys don't get it.
But, I don't get it, huh? Thank you very much, sir, for your call.
That's absolutely right. You don't get it, because you've never been there. You've never been in harm's way. You've never had a family depending on you while you're overseas. You don't get it, and you should leave it at that. And you know what you should do? You should step out of the spotlight and do something else. You do not deserve public office.
Well, sir, I'm just trying to be fair to everybody, and I think it's more fair to the troops if you're over there.
Okay, all right. First of all,
at the end
don't
of the
ever
day,
say the word troops.
Oh, God.
Don't ever say the word troops. I'll tell you what. I'll make a deal with you. How about you come down to Camp Pendleton? You're running for California office. Come down to Camp Pendleton. I will put you in front of a company of Marines, and you tell them why they don't deserve a paycheck and why their families don't deserve a paycheck. I will set that up for you, sir. You want to do that?
Well, sir, can I ask a question at first? Well, let me just ask a question. You're not, and I thought I heard Mr. Henry say you're Paris Island. You're not Paris Island?
No, it's Camp Pendleton.
Okay, first of all, not as good, oh boy.
You don't know anything about Paris
Island.
That's where
I'd like to go. I'd like to go to Paris Island because that's where they had that one guy. What's his name?
Go to Paris Island, then. Enlist.
No, you said you're going to show me around.
Serve in the military, and then you can talk to me. Right now,
let's
you don't even have a right to talk to me.
Well, I'm talking to you, and I'm saying I respect what you do, but don't you want to have your paycheck?
Really? Oh, you respect what I do.
Oh, boy. All right.
And I don't deserve to get paid for what I do, but you respect
what I do.
I get shot at for a living. You sit in an office, and you look at paperwork, and you figure out numbers, and you decide who gets paid.
Well, no. I mean, you know what I was doing? I was producing adult films, which probably some Marines were looking at.
Oh, you were in the adult film. Oh my God. That's great.
Wow, what an epiphany. Well, wow, you just solved all my problems. You're a porn producer, and I'm totally amazed by that. What am I supposed to get from that?
Well, that we made movies that probably a lot of Marines want to see.
Oh, boy. So that's your patriotic duty, huh? All right, sir, thank you very, very much. From Camp Pendleton, that was caller Dan here on the Phil Henry Show. We'll take a break, and we'll be back with Chris Norton next hour. We have Clara Bingham here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call, 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. Call the Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
And welcome back to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. We'll be back to Chris Norton and our callers in just a moment. But we first of all want to tell you about our sponsor, one of our great sponsors, and that is Dynapep. Dynapep, where you can get your Dynapep at 7-Eleven right now, tonight. Head on over and partake of a product that we do. Partake of, if you will, each and every night. It's Dynapep. It's a micro energy shot, 4 millimeters, less than a teaspoon, no sugar, no crash, no jitters, just 2 calories. And I really miss my Dynapep, you know? I don't even know where my Dynapep is here. Robert, you know where it is?
No, I think we're out, man.
I mean, when we're out of Dynapep, it flips me out. It really, you know, I don't deal with it very well. So What we do suggest, though, is that you pick up your Dynapep whenever you can, a micro-energy shot that gets you through the night focused and alert and keeps you going when you've been up all night. Dynapep lasts up to 10 hours with 10 times the power. Dynapep, available at 7-Eleven, one of our great sponsors, and visit dynapep.com. All right, 877-876-PHIL is the number here. Chris Norton on the line with us as we continue in the last few minutes talking about his belief as a Democrat. He supports President Obama threatening to veto a bill that would at least extend the pay of our military, and the president's considering vetoing that. So once again, our military people are in the breach, whether they're defending us overseas or whether they are being used as some sort of a doorstop. If you want my honest opinion, I mean, that's exactly what it feels like to me. Are we taking a, oh my goodness, we're out of time. Mr. Norton, you know, I can't tell you how unhappy that makes me.
Well, it looks like I go out on top, man. I made all the cool points, all the bishop points. And you didn't make no good points at all.
Yes, I did make good points, but we're out of time. Oh, man.
Phil Hendry.
That hacks me off.
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
The question we need to ask ourselves is, why does the President of the United States...
We don't accept the status quo.
The real risks are one major deformity.
I have to tell you that I live paycheck to paycheck like
most... Constitution doesn't have a preamble.
Ching chong ling long ting tong.
World famous Phil Hendry Show. The Phil Hendry Show. Every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. A news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Where truth is our bitch and where we go. Places other talk shows cannot possibly go. That's right. On this show, we continue to press forward looking for that truth. And there are a great many in this world of ours. But together... fighting against the trend to roll back so much of what is good about this country. Fighting against the trend to internationalize the country. Fighting against the trend to turn our country into a Disneyland, into a massive garbage dump for the world. It's like the world's Central Park. It's not a country, it's a park. No. Ain't gonna happen. Not on our watch. 877-876-PHIL. And we are going to bring back Chris Norton for another hour, and we do that because we've obviously got people who want to speak with him and people who want to weigh in on this issue. The issue is the possible shutting down of the government on Friday. And if the government is shut down, that means that federal workers are not paid. The House Republicans have cobbled together a bill that basically states if the government is shut down, at least the United States military, our military people, will be paid, if nothing else. If possible, they'd like to extend the government's operation through 1 week. President Obama has said he will veto that bill. And with us is Chris Norton, and you have been unabashed, sir, in basically saying... you approve of the president's stand there, and I have. And for the past hour, we've been asking you, how can you possibly want to punish military people? I can understand, you know, politicians not getting paid.
Well, I can punish it, Phil.
No, hold on. I can understand politicians not getting paid. In fact, many of us would celebrate that. Maybe some of the politicians themselves would. I can understand where you have to cut back on the number of gardeners they have at the Department of Commerce. Cut back on the number of people they've got taking tickets at the Smithsonian. I don't know. But people that are fighting and dying for the country, and then to say in the cavalier manner that you did, the families don't deserve it because they're not the ones that are fighting, is beyond anything that I've even heard President Obama say.
Well, you know, Mr. Renner, you have a great way of making these things sound really dramatic, but... you know, keep in mind, please, that I was in the adult film business for, you know, 4 years, so I know a little bit about acting, and you can act like you know, are really shocked and outraged.
I'm not acting, sir. I'm very shocked and outraged. I'm worried for these families. I worry for them.
Well, Are you worried about the number of poor people that are living in poverty and have lived in poverty? You know, you were on your program yesterday talking about John Edwards and how John Edwards, you thought John Edwards would had no reason to be president of the United States. Well, John Edwards was the only presidential candidate that recognizes that poor people were taking it in the, you know, in the short, you know, excuse me for saying, but taking it in the shorts.
And poor people were taking it in the shorts. What do you mean? Did John Edwards campaign?
Yeah, John Edwards was speaking up for them. We have a lot of people we have to speak up for, Miss Mary. We have a lot of people. And if there, and I think it's really, you know, I can't believe that you're, you know, going after me. The Republicans are the ones who want to cut the budget back. The Republicans are the ones who want to stop spending. The Republicans are the ones who don't want to have a continuation of the same spendthrift ways. So when President Obama says, "Well, you better have a budget on Friday, and if you don't, I'm shutting this mother down," and that means troops too. You know?
And that means the troops too, and that means, and when I said the families that depend on that pay, because the troops themselves, you say the troops are probably going to look forward to that, which means they don't have to fight. Are you honestly believing, and are you trying to sell to my audience the fact that if the troops don't get a paycheck, they're going to not get out of the bunk in the morning, they'll lay their weapons down?
I think that is our experience with labor in this country, and I don't blame them for that. I want to be very clear on that. If I'm a troop, or a soldier, or however you want to say, and, you know, and
by the way, that Marine that called last hour was so put out with you, he didn't want to hear that word from you.
Well, you know what? He is entitled to his opinion, but I'm an American citizen, and I'm going to say the things I think need to be said. Things I think need to be said. But I believe when the day, you know, when at the end of the day, the families, I mean, we have a tradition in this country, Mr. Henry. We do have a lot of, and I'm not saying the families necessarily are freeloaders, but I think we've got troops over there trying to, you know, fight for the country. You got some freeloader. I'm not saying a family, but like, what, you got a freeloader brother-in-law, or you got, you know, your brother-in-law and his wife, and they've moved into the garage or whatever. I mean, this is probably going to help a lot of these military men at the end of the day, because they won't have no freeloader living in the garage.
You have no idea what these people are having to put up with. What is it with you all of a sudden coming up with goofy information about how the troops have got a freeloader brother-in-law and his wife living in the garage? I mean, what? How do you know I don't have one?
Well, I mean, are you in the middle? I don't. You know, I'm looking. You know, I'm looking at your video cast right now, Mr. General. You don't look much like you're in Afghanistan.
Yeah. It's called Afghanistan, and no, I'm not in Afghanistan. I'm at the Pacific Ocean here. I'm in Ventura County at the Ventura LA County line. I'm about as far away from the hell of combat as a man can get.
Well, then why do you sound like you're ready to drop a? God, you sound like you're going to have a cow, because I'm saying.
And by the way, you're very adult with a lot of your references.
Sir, I am saying that the government needs, and President Obama is going to hold the Congress of the United States to a shutdown. It's going to be a major cool out, and I think that's what the president's saying, cool it out. And if this was Pulp Fiction, it might be a line like, tell those N-words to chill out, I'm sending the wolf. You know, Mr. Henry?
I don't like the way you put things. I think you have a very insulting manner. Tell those N-words to chill out, I'm sending the wolf. So now what you're doing is you're quoting Pulp Fiction. I think that your credibility as a candidate for office in the state of California is seriously compromised by your visit on this show here this evening. Here is August in New York. You're on the Phil Henry Show. August, go ahead, sir.
Listen, I'm listening to this conversation. You know, you call yourself running for public office, you sound like an idiot. You know, I wouldn't vote for you if you ran for dog catcher.
Well, that's pretty, you're probably a Republican, you know.
Well, no, I'm not a Republican or a Democrat. I'm an independent. I think you're a perfect idiot. I think you're a jerk.
People say they're independent. That means they're Republican.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't. There's a difference between a Republican or an independent. An independent votes which either way he wants.
Okay.
Republican votes for the party.
You don't like Obama, do you? No, you don't.
No. I'm pro-Obama, but I'm anti-you.
Huh? Wait a second. Obama's the one that wants to shut the government down and not pay no troops.
No, Obama does not want to shut the government down and not pay any troops. That's not so. I mean, I can't believe that you want to deny these people.
Hold it.
I can't believe you want to deny these people pay, and these people putting their lives on the line, day in and day out to protect us. You got to be kidding. I mean, I don't believe it.
Well, I mean, if you're saying we got to cut back on the waste and trim the fat on the budget and everything like this, would you rather?
No, but
are you going to cut an old lady?
No, but let me say something.
Why
do you got to pick on the military people? These people are catching enough hell as is. They're getting shot at, they're getting bombed, and then when they come to the United States, come back home, they can't get help. And then you want to make matters worse? What are you, crazy?
I'm not trying to make matters worse. What we're trying to say is if you want to have a government shutdown and get serious about trimming the fat and making, you know, everything like this, then
don't do it on the backs of people who are protecting the country. Don't do it on the backs of the military.
First of all, and I don't know whether I should say, are you Italian? Because
no, I'm not Italian.
You that.
I'm not Italian. I'm African American. Why? You got something against African Americans or Italian?
No, I don't. No, but I thought maybe you were, you know, mobbed up. And
what do you mean mobbed up? What is that supposed to mean?
Well, I'm wondering if the guy, you know, if he can't be talking to me if he's mobbed up.
Why? Because he sounded like an Italian? You know, you're going to have to back way off of some of these areas that you're venturing into here, Chris, because you're now leaving the area of discussion, and you're going into some weird-ass areas.
I apologize.
Now, I want to make a point here to both you guys, or to either one can respond. But I agree with August, because if the troops are over there and they are in harm's way, and these men and these women, at least they have a paycheck going to their family. At least they know their family's being taken care of. At least they know if I die or I get injured or something happens to me, my people at home are being taken care of by way of my pay. Now you don't even want to let them have that. Now you say that the families are freeloaders.
No, I did not say that, Mr. Henry.
Yeah, you did.
I said if they got a brother-in-law back there. Or some, you know. I'm sure this gentleman understand that. Don't you, sir? About a brother-in-law and his
but let me say this. How do you bring the brother? Brother-in-law has nothing to do with this. Brother-in-law has nothing to do with this. This man or woman is overseas, getting shot at, getting bombed.
Right.
And you're going to deny them, deny the family benefits and pay?
The brother-in-law,
leave the brother-in-law out of it. Leave the brother-in-law out of it. He has nothing to do with it.
I'd love to, but if he's living in the garage, you know, how do I figure that out?
What the hell are you talking about? You know, you're coming up with all kinds of reasons. You know, I'm telling you, it sounds to me like you're making a case for this shutdown, because if they do cut the pay of the military, you guys have got a million different goofy things you want to say.
It's not goofy, Mr. Henry. I don't mind giving money to the family, but if they got a... Okay, you don't want me to say it, but who's living? How many people have gotten there anyway?
You know something? Could I say something? You know, people like you running for public office, I said to myself, that's why this country is in the position it's in now. Years ago, we had people of different caliber running for public office. I don't know what crop of people they got running for office now.
Well, I mean, you know what you are?
You are the last scraping at the bottom of the barrel as far as political candidates are concerned.
Well, I worked in the adult film business. Now, that's not the best, but at least I was a businessman. And I understand, you know, about...
Yeah, you understand about adult films. What's that got to do with this?
Because I had to make a budget. Well, I was only paying myself. But I hope that the business will get bigger.
All right. Anyway, August, thanks so much for your call. I appreciate it
very much.
Gentleman from New York, thank you. He was very polite, and I think he probably...
I'm not sure that guy was, you know, like John Gotti or some kind of a dude.
877-876-PHIL is the number as we talk here with Chris Norton about the budget crisis that has affected the United States. On Friday, the government could be shut down, which means no pay for federal workers. And Mr. Norton is here as a Democrat, and speaking on behalf, he says, of President Obama, although he can't, he thinks that any pay, including the pay of the military, should be suspended as well. This sounds to me almost as goofy as when they wanted to stop unemployment payments, if you remember that. 877-876-PHIL is the number here. It's the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Next hour, we have our news and commentary hour with Bud and Robert. On the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Don't forget about our website.
Call the Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Welcome back to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. With me is Chris Norton as we talk about the United States military. We have, if you're looking at our video feed, we have on our camera behind me, on our split screen, we have the president was giving some remarks. We had some shots of our troops in Afghanistan. And there they were, Mr. Norton. I mean, they're geared up, as they like to say, and they have their weapons slung, and they're moving into the desert. And you're saying, let's cut their pay off?
Well, I don't think for those soldiers having their pay cut off is going to be that big a deal. I mean, we have the greatest soldiers in the world, and we got the most, you know, hardcore. I mean, I'm not, you know, a soldier, but I feel I can communicate with the military. I feel like, you know, they understand me. And I understand them, more importantly. That's the most important thing. Not that they understand me, but I understand them, and I think I do. And when you look at the military, if we have the greatest one that there's ever, you know, we have the best military that there is, I think those guys, they go into battle, and I think if you said to them, oh, you know, here's your paycheck, I think they'd laugh in your face. You know?
Well, what does that mean, they'd laugh in your face?
Well, can you imagine a guy that's going into battle and, you know, he's geared up and he's on a take on Al-Qaeda, and you say, "Oh, I got your paycheck." They would laugh. They would laugh. They'd probably eat it. You know,
I got your paycheck. I don't think any of them have ever heard those words as they're on their way into battle. As you say, "Oh, excuse me, here's your paycheck."
What is so funny about that, Mr. Henry?
They're not going to pay him that way. The money goes to their families at home, and you don't want that money going to those families because you called them deadbeats.
I believe that there is a significant number of deadbeats in a military family. Yes, sir.
Boy, is that an insult, man. You have no idea. You know?
I've said I feel I can communicate with them.
Well, you may feel that, but for you to say that about a man who's fighting for his country and to say, oh, and here's a really good excuse on what to use in case we don't want to pay these people, let's just call them deadbeats. Here is Henrietta in Yakima, Washington. Henrietta, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with Chris Norton.
I didn't say call
Mr.
them.
Mr. Norton, why don't we send you to Afghanistan and fight for our soldiers, since they are a volunteer service and they are fighting for us? My son is over there, and he helps me with money, and they should not have to fight if they don't get paid. And like I said, they help their families. They serve their nation. And you being a porno pimp, we should send you over there to do the work, since you don't want to pay our brave men and women in the services.
Well, ma'am, I can assure you the work that I did in adult film industry,
patriotic for our nation. Downgrading women.
Are you denying that, you know, that they get a kick out of some of the product that I produce?
Well, we don't know whether they're watching the product you produce. And that,
yeah,
you
that's
know something?
True.
It could very well be that the adult film business serves some sort of purpose in our military, the same way that cigarette companies do. You know, we don't want young people smoking, but what the hell, if anybody's entitled to a cigarette, and even an adult film, I guess it's a soldier. But the point that you made here about families is what I want to get back to. Henrietta just said that her son sends her money.
Yeah, and here she is, all, you know, comfy, and you're comfy up there, and you live in where is Yakima, Washington? My understanding, Yakima, Washington, very beautiful. There's great many trees and everything. Do you live in the trees?
We got some trees. We live in the desert, but it's not all comfy.
Desert? In Washington?
Yeah, there's a big desert.
I'm not familiar with that.
Yeah, we want to...
I can tell you.
California wants to elect somebody. They're really knowledgeable of everywhere and stuff like that. I'm glad you ain't running over here. You wouldn't get my vote. You want to get
California. I'm running in California, so I don't really need to know about the Washington deserts.
Huh? Well, you don't seem like you know much about California or the troops and their families.
Well, I do know a lot about the troops. I appreciate what the troops do.
Oh, yeah, they just sit around. All they do is sit and watch pornos and have deadbeat families at home who are collecting all their money. That's how you think of the troops.
That's exactly right. Henrietta put it right there in a nutshell. That's what you've been saying.
Mr. Henry, I don't recall.
No, that's exactly. You've been talking about deadbeat families. They watch porn, and they're sitting there when the guy says, here's your paycheck, and they laugh, and they just as soon eat it. You have some idea that the military, they're like a cross between superheroes and mentally guys that are insane or something, you know, psychotic.
I think a lot of those troops, and I think Henrietta would attest to this, as much as she's not been, I don't think, honest.
And don't comment on the honesty of other people. You be honest.
All right, I think this lady would say.
Yeah, you're so honest. You being a Mr. Porno Pip, you're so honest. Like I said, I wouldn't. I'm glad you're not living in this area. You would not get enough.
You're a little too familiar with that word pimp. You're a little too familiar with the word pimp. Okay, you want to talk to me about that?
Yeah, you sound like a pimp.
Yeah. Well, that's the 15th.
You're pimping our soldiers. You don't want them to be paid. You're pimping our soldiers. They're in death's way. You're pimping our soldiers. You want to send them.
Phil Hendry.
Is your name Sally Landon? I think you had a house and son.
Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Welcome back here, 877-876-PHIL, as we continue talking here with Chris Norton. And Chris is with he's actually with himself, as he's running it for public office in the state of California. He's also with California Pharmaceutical. He's a telemarketer. I want to just take this opportunity to remind you to visit our website, philhendryshow.com, which is where we have a live streaming video in HD of our show right now. And so we're very excited about Phil TV in HD because we have the clearest, most beautiful picture of any radio show that is currently streaming to the web, I guarantee you, anywhere. Plus, we have a multitude of special effects. We can take our camera and feature our Henry Emotionally Fragile videos, and we did last week, we did one called Charlie Sheen, Where To Now, where I just sit down and do these sort of off-air rants for our Backstage Pass members. And we are also adding in brand new downloads from our archives, audio downloads, going back many, many years, and putting in thousands of hours of shows that we did over the years. So visit philhendryshow.com, get a Backstage Pass, and visit our merchandise shop. We have the T-shirt that's going in this weekend, and I just showed it during our news hour. I'll show it to you again. Chris Norton joining us, and we are discussing, Chris, and you have made some extremely controversial statements about the deadbeat families, and I find it difficult to believe that you are not hearing me here.
What am I not hearing, Mr. Henry? I'm hearing...
You're not hearing me say... What? Where do you get off calling the families deadbeat? If a soldier wants to send his pay home to his family, he should be able to do that.
I don't have any doubts about that, sir. What I'm saying is the last people who should have some say in whether or not there's going to be a paycheck is the family because of the deadbeat. You have to be aware that DBF is something that we've looked at as government.
What is DBF?
That is the deadbeat factor.
The deadbeat factor, and that means what?
That means what? What do you think I've been talking about?
I don't know what you've been talking about. I've been hearing you talking about military like you respect them in one breath, and the next breath you say, well, tough luck. They ain't getting paid.
That's right. They're not going to get paid because we have to get our budget into, and President Obama said he's going to veto it. I'm a Democrat. I want to be a Democrat. I won't be elected. How am I supposed to be elected as a Democrat in the state of California if I'm telling President Obama to go pound it? See what I'm saying?
What do you mean, go pound it? What does that mean?
I don't support him.
All right, well, do you believe in the standard, don't you?
Yes, it so happens, yes, I do. But if I didn't, I'd still have to support him. I want to be a Democrat in the state of California.
I know what you mean by paddle it.
Well.
877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. Let's talk to, I believe this is Angela in West Covina, California. Go ahead, Angela. You're on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, please.
This man needs to be stopped. I am a wife of a man in Afghanistan, and I have three little babies, and I'm at home with my babies. And this man wants to take money out of my pocket to feed my babies? Are you crazy? You don't know what you're talking about.
No. First of all, let me ask something. You're not Octomom, are you? I had to ask you that.
You know what? Your stupid jokes are not going to work with me,
no,
okay?
No, it's not a joke. It's not a joke.
Three is not Octo.
What do you mean is she Octomom?
You're not even that smart.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, eight is Octomom. This lady just got done telling you that she has three kids, okay? She has three, not eight.
What? Okay, that's all right. I don't know. Maybe somebody took them or she got rid of them. I don't know.
Somebody took my baby.
What I'm asking you, ma'am, is why would you have three kids where you have a husband who's over there trying to root out Al-Qaeda, and don't you feel a little greedy taking all that money from your husband?
Are you crazy? Money
what
from
are you talking
this
about?
This is his family. This is his family.
Well, I know it's his family. Are you spending the money on purses? Are you spending it on? Are you buying? You know
are you
saying?
Insane? I have three little babies. I don't. There's no luxury spending. You know, you couldn't make it as a telemarketer, and you couldn't make it in the porn business, and you're bringing your demented, just ignorant thinking into politics. You will not be getting
absolutely.
My vote, sir.
Very well said. Very well said.
Well, Angela, I'm sorry you feel that way. I'm running in a district that's in Redondo Beach. It's not West Covina. But I hope that in the future, if I do run for state senator from the from California, you would vote for me. And perhaps
you are not. No way. I will stay
up
tonight to put an end to your campaign.
If you want to feed your kids, assuming that you're not, well, I shouldn't say, are you breastfeeding?
See, that's none of your business. That's none
yes,
of your business.
Thank you, Phil.
Well, I mean, so how are you feeding them then? Takes money.
Don't be a fool. Stay on point, okay? If you're going to run for office, you know, you got to be a little more savvier than this. Because you're not winning people over. You think you come on a good show like this and you think that you're winning people over. You're not. You're pushing people away because you're ignorant. You don't know what you're talking about. You want to blame your families.
Well, what I'm trying to do is, how can we keep the government functioning so that President Obama doesn't look like a douchebag? Well, I shouldn't say douchebag, but you know.
It's President Obama that wants to shut the government down. It's the Republicans that also want to shut the government down. They want to pass a law, though, that says that the troops get paid. You're against that. You claim the president's against that. How can you be against that? The reasons you've given? Number one, the deadbeat families. Number two, the troops would probably approve. Number three, it's the right thing to do. It may be, but, you know, the morality involved of making a family starve, okay?
Well, that's my whole point. This lady here, and she sounds like a nice lady, but she's got three kids. And I don't know. I mean, does that mean we're going to McDonald's? Probably. Does that mean McBurglar, you know? Probably. So,
no, that doesn't mean probably anything.
Well, ma'am, do you take them over to, like, the McBurglar meal?
You know what? You don't make sense. My husband is fighting for your freedom. The freedom that gave
yes,
you
ma'am.
To work in the porn business. And you want to go and destroy that? Because he sends
no.
money home to his family to take care of his children? And then you got to go off on. Who cares what I feed my children? The fact is that I can feed my children because of the money my husband sends me. Okay, you understand that?
But I mean, what? I don't know. Here's the thing I don't get: why do they send the check to you when he's over there?
She's his wife.
My goodness, you don't know what you're talking about.
But her name isn't on the paycheck.
She deposits the check. It happens all the time in married couples all over the country.
All right.
Right,
then
that's
please
right.
answer this. Okay, then what about this? If your husband is fighting, what if instead of money, they did take porn? I mean, not if
what?
They took adult films. And
okay, you know something? You're sounding like a jackass.
I'm trying to come up with a way that we can pay them without doing money.
Oh, so let's send them porn.
That's why I don't want to send it to this lady. What am I going to do? I'm going to send a stack of discs to this lady, lesbian lingerie party. She would be offended.
Don't go there.
I don't blame you. Well, I don't blame you. So I want to send that to the troops.
And
what are they
going to
do with that, man?
This is a scam for you. You're trying to get 15 minutes of fame to help your porn business, and you're using us as the little guinea pigs for your little charade.
No, ma'am.
That is not
fair. I'm getting out.
Families.
I'm getting out of the porn business. Thank God, I'm getting out. I'm getting out because I was used like an animal. I was used like a beast of burden. I didn't like it, but they used me a lot.
I don't want to hear your about your porn career. Thank you so much, and God bless you, Angela, and thanks to your husband
you
for
so
his
much,
service
Phil.
To our country.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. I was used like a beast of burden.
Well, I was. I mean, I'm sitting there, I'm just kicking, getting ready to watch, the boardwalk, the boardwalk show, and all of a sudden I get a call, hey, get on over here, Woodsman.
All right. 877-876-PHIL, a Phil Henry show. We have Bud Dickman and Robert Leonard coming up in a few minutes in our news and information hour. Here is Sandy in San Antonio, Texas, with a daughter in Afghanistan. Sandy, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry show.
And my daughter is on her third deployment, and she's only 27 years old. She has a 5-year-old son that she is supporting. What am I supposed to tell the mortgage company when the money's not there to make her house payment for her while she's gone?
You could lend her the money.
Sir, I'm on Social Security. I don't have that kind of money. I worked my whole life in factories and raised a family. I'm not a rich woman. I'm doing her a favor by taking care of her son for her while she's over there. And she doesn't need the stress of not knowing where the money's going to come from. Because time I talk to her on the Internet, she's stressed out because she works in the hospital and she sees all the soldiers getting killed and injured.
Oh,
and
God.
She doesn't need this on top of all of that.
Well, see, that was my whole point, though. If she had given her son to someone that, had some money and maybe could help her out, but she...
Give away children.
Yeah, what do you mean?
You don't give away your child. She puts her child with someone that she knows can trust. She knows she can trust and raise him properly.
But you don't really do her much good because you don't have any money. And
so what? This is the woman's mother.
Well, and then the other thing, of course, is she volunteered. See, that's the thing we have to always remember about our military. We're cutting
your pay off. She volunteered to work for free? I got an idea. Why don't we not pay our politicians instead? And pay the military. That's a good idea. I think that's a real good idea.
They're not going to be paying them. Well, it's already been thought of, and they won't be paid. Nobody who works for the federal government will be paid, and that includes the troops, and that includes, unfortunately, your daughter, who made the mistake of putting her son, and you don't have any money. Do you have anything liquid?
You know what, Chris? You're missing a point. What you're doing here is you're trying to get people used to the idea of some kind of a government that is so hardcore and so without any sympathy that they'll just come right on in, man, and take the money away, and you better get used to it.
I want to ask this lady a question. Can you bring that child to Afghanistan, or is there a responsible adult that could transport it?
To Afghanistan? No, you're not allowed to bring family members to Afghanistan, sir. Common sense would tell you that it's a war zone. Just like when she was in Iraq. She couldn't take her child to Iraq either.
Really? Huh.
You mean you haven't figured that one out? You're going to take children into a war zone?
Real intelligent man, isn't he? And he wants to run for office? No way.
Well,
we know where your brains are. You've been using them for something else.
Ma'am, I am going to run for office trying to come up with solutions. If we're not allowing family into these war zones,
you can run all you want, but that don't mean they're going to elect you.
Well, why
they're
going to
see you for what you are.
Why don't we start allowing limited numbers of family members into the war zones? Family members who may be,
she is in a war zone.
Dispensable.
What does that mean, dispensable?
Well, maybe not let the kid go, but maybe this woman.
All right, we're going to take a break, and that was uncalled for. Thank you very much, Sandy, for your call. I appreciate it very much. 877-876-PHIL. How much time left? We got this guy?
Yeah, 10 minutes.
I think all of his ideas, if this guy even gets elected to the State House in California, the minute he opens his yap, they're going to be throwing him out the front door. The front door. So people saw him going in, and they'll see him sailing out the same way. 877-876-7445. This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, back with our final segment here. Mr. Chris Norton, running for California State Assembly with ideas on how to cure this budget impasse in Washington. Don't pay the troops or their, quote, deadbeat families. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. Call the Patriot Hotline now. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Welcome back on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Our final segment here with Chris Norton from Redondo Beach, California. Chris, you mentioned something, but you called this a activity tax?
Yes, sir. I'm glad you brought that up, Ms. Hurry. Our troops are defending, or, you know, defending our country, and they're defending us and everything like this. And we do have a budget crisis. We don't know, among many things, when you send the pay home to a family and you're a family member of a military troop and you're out, for instance, and this can happen. We have a soldier in Afghanistan or Iraq fighting the enemy, and at home is a family member playing in, you know, probably getting in 18 holes, maybe even 36 holes, hitting buckets of balls, trying to improve their golf game.
Who is this?
These are the family members of the soldiers. So what we ask them to do is we ask them, well, what activities do you play? And a lot of times they say, well, I don't have time. Well, is that right? Well, because guess what? You know, we spotted you hitting a bucket of balls over at the Arroyo 3 Park. Okay, so.
I'm lost. What are you talking about, man? You're saying that these people that are getting the money from the troops,
yeah, they're going out and playing and hitting a bucket of balls.
They're going out and hitting buckets of balls in golf?
Yeah.
And oh, come on. How much does that cost?
We don't know, but what we're trying to say is, if you're over putting your life on the line and your wife is trying to get an LPGA card, don't you think that that's wrong? I do.
I don't know if that's ever happened in the history of the United States military. I'm being very serious now. In the history of the U.S. military, I don't know if it's ever happened that a man is over fighting for America while unbeknownst to him, okay, because I think that's what you're saying, right?
Yes, sir, that would be true.
Yeah, unbeknownst to him, his wife is trying to get her LPGA card. Now, maybe he knows it. Is that still kind of messed up?
Well, if he knows it, then he obviously has, he's given it, full approval.
877-876-PHIL. Let me take a call here from Chris, and Chris is in Chattanooga, Tennessee. Go ahead, Chris, you're on the Phil Hendry Show.
I'm going to go and assume this guy is clinically retarded, so I'm going to be real gentle with him. I'll retire next year out of active duty. My son is going to end up going to Afghanistan when he gets out of basic. There's three things that this man is in. Hold on 1 second there, Chief. All right, I earn the right.
Well, I don't know.
Speak my mind.
Are you in the military?
Shut it.
You in the military?
Yes, I am in the military.
Well,
now,
I know what you were talking
first
about.
First thing, U.S. military soldier is not a non-essential personnel. All right? Number two, we don't do it for the money. All right? Number three, you've heard soldiers say
you
would not understand why we do it. You've heard us say you would not understand why we do it. Well, I'm going to give you a little insight of why I do it. Because when I go to bed, nobody like me, when I go to bed and I wake up, I have got the responsibility of 320 million Americans to protect. Now, you break it down hourly, 24/7, 365. I make about almost $3 an hour.
How do I know this guy's even in the military? How do I know this guy's not an actor?
Well, you just listen to
him. Bravo Company, 2nd Platoon.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Anything
yeah,
else
yeah,
you'd like
I'm
to
sure
know?
You do. Yeah, sure. What did you do, make a movie out of your life, too?
Boy, you are a real smartass, aren't you?
No, he's not, Mr. Hendry. He is clinically retarded because God could not put DNA together with someone so stupid unless he's either joking or he is seriously incompetent.
God, what does that mean, God couldn't put DNA together? What does that mean, God couldn't put DNA together? That wasn't even funny.
Well, what are you doing funny. Now, man, okay? You having an argument with the guy?
I don't believe he's in the military.
Go ahead,
well,
sir.
That's fine.
Go ahead.
What he's talking about families playing golf while their son or daughter or husband or wife is over in the military.
Yes,
I would hope my wife I would hope my wife is having a good time over here so she's not thinking about what I'm doing over there. Now, do you believe I'm in the military now? 7 tours in Afghanistan. Would you like to believe about a young Marine the second year I was over there? The second tour? 22-year-old girl, convoy, female.
7 tours. How long's a tour?
You know, Chris, shut
up. U.S. Army Rangers stay about 8 months. Then we rotate back out and go back in.
I don't mean you.
Well, I thought you said you were a Marine.
Ranger, I saved the life of a female Marine.
Texas
Ranger. You want me to explain her injuries to you? Or the other 9 people that were killed that day?
Would be easier.
Do you believe I'm in the military now?
It would be easier if you sent a picture.
All right. You know, I've heard about enough of this clown. Get rid of him. Chris, go ahead, sir, and finish what you wanted to say without this interruption.
I appreciate that. Basically, right. the Barack Obama, and I'm not for him or against him. I care less. He's my commander-in-chief, and I'll obey what he tells me to do. But if he vetoes that, he is saying that the U.S. military is non-essential personnel. And that right there, that is going to stab in the heart of every American soldier
That's
out there. No president in history has ever mentioned that. Even the
That's
president
right.
that That's... hates the military would never do something like that. But just right. to let you know, it's not about the money.
All right. Well,
so every
I appreciate
night,
that very
can,
much, Chris.
You can have what you do. That you can do what you do because we do what we do.
That's exactly right. I appreciate that very much, Chris. Thank you very much. What?
Me.
Are you about done?
I just wanted to know if the guy wanted to play golf. Yeah, I played with his wife.
All right. 877-876-PHIL. We'll be right
Phil
back.
Phil Hendry.
Next week it's a free part.
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
It was just something I thought would be fascinating.
We don't accept the status quo.
Look at Libya. We go in. We don't want to remove Gaddafi.
Where else, except in a public school in the state of New Mexico right now, can you actually inflict some sort of damage to a child?
Winning!
World famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. The news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch. This is Radio for Patriots by Patriots. This radio show goes places other talk shows cannot go. We do it all, and we do it every night. I mean, we are head and shoulders above any other radio show that you will listen to. That is an absolute honest statement. I believe it. And there are others in this business that would agree with it. We're just head and shoulders above any other radio show. In terms of the actual purpose of being on the radio, which is to entertain people, we are pros, we are veterans, and we know what we're doing. And I say that with great pride because in the radio industry, it is increasingly becoming amateur hour as the seconds tick by. As the seconds tick by, it increasingly becomes a playpen for bored movie producers, lawyers, and...
What did Rachel Ray used to do?
I think she modeled, like, rubber underwear or something like that.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm kidding. I didn't mean to say that, but it was funny. 877-876-PHIL. I don't know what she did, man. She was a cook, you know.
What do you mean she was a cook?
Well, whatever Rachel Ray did what she does now. Didn't she do...
Yeah, what'd she do?
What?
What'd she do?
I don't know what she did. It must have had something to do with cooking. How about that? Donald Trump takes on the president's birth certificate. Why is Trump picking that issue? Dodgers are about to get a bigger police presence. Plus, did archaeologists just find the remains of a gay caveman? We'll tell you why they suspect all of these things, why they suspect he's gay, at 877-876-PHIL and philhendryshow.com. That is our website, and that's where you go to get the live streaming video of our radio show each and every night. As well as, of course, on the weekends, we do our KFI show, and you can watch the live streaming video of that. All of the archives, thousands of hours, check it out at philhendryshow.com. All right. Of all of the things I got to get to this Trump thing because it's driving me nuts. It's driving me nuts. And I will say something here, folks, because we are on this program real conservatives. We're political conservatives. Now, I'm not going to sit here and lie to you. I'm not going to sit here and lie to you and tell you that a guy like Donald Trump would make a great president. He makes a great CEO. He makes a great leader of an American corporation. In other words, he makes a great dictator. That's exactly what you are when you head a company, although you do have a board of directors you have to answer to, but that's kind of like answering to the Politburo back in the days of the Soviet communists. In other words, you are not necessarily, although they have shareholder meetings, you're not necessarily, if it's not a publicly traded company, having to be democratic about things. So when you take a guy out of the business community who works as an autocrat in the business community, and that's how things are run, and that's great. That's how we run our business. That's how I run my business, autocratically. I tell people what's up, and they do it. I don't take votes. So Donald Trump is the same way. Now, why is that not necessarily a great president? Well, for the very obvious reasons. You don't get to act like that as a president. You can go to the White House and start throwing your weight around, and you're going to have some guy that's been in the Senate for 30, 40 years, some longtime veteran senator, maybe bring over some of his friends, and they'll say, well, now let us explain to you, Mr. President, how this ball game's played. You ain't telling us anything. It depends on the president as to just how much leeway he eventually does make. They said that Lyndon Johnson was great at strong-arming the Congress because Lyndon Johnson had so many years in Congress, and he knew where all the bodies were buried. And he'd call those guys up and get them over to the White House, maybe have a barbecue one night, bust out the whiskey the next night, or just cuss up a blue streak, whatever he needed to get stuff done. Ronald Reagan, the same way. Ronald Reagan was an executive for the state of California. He was the governor, so he already had experience dealing. And if you've ever seen any of the old video, not old video, but old film footage of Ronald Reagan on the old news shows, you could see he went toe-to-toe with all kinds of people. I mean, face-to-face with the Board of Regents, University of California, members of the California Assembly, just other politicians, other heavy hitters. You got to learn how to do that, but you also have to be a part of a democratic machine. Now, Donald Trump has been doing media rounds after a surprise presidential poll shows him neck and neck with Mitt Romney. Fresh off his surprise second place showing among likely Republican primary voters in the new Wall Street Journal NBC poll, Donald Trump hit NBC's Today Show this morning to sell himself. Now, this is not uncommon in America. We love our millionaires. We love our business success stories. We do. We love our Lee Iacocca's. We love our Bill Gates's. We love our Thomas Edison's. They don't necessarily make for good presidents. In a wide-ranging interview on the Today Show with Meredith Vieira, Donald Trump says he's taking a potential presidential run seriously.
I hate what's happening to the country. I wish I didn't have to do it. I wish this country was running so great, and I wish Obama was the greatest president since Abraham Lincoln, and I wish this was the greatest place in the world. What we're doing is unbelievable. If you look at what's going on, where our jobs are disappearing to foreign countries, where the oil, you're going to be paying $7 or $8 a gallon for your oil very soon.
But do you blame this all on Barack Obama?
Well, I blame a lot of it. It's been a terrible presidency.
All right, now, that's great stuff. That's very attractive stuff. We all want to hear that. We love to hear that from a candidate, okay? H. Ross Perot talked that way. It's what are these guys prepared to do to leave the world of business and go into politics? Here is Donald Trump explaining his stance on Libya.
Look at Libya. We go in. We don't want to remove Gaddafi, but we're going to go fight, and we're going to this. And now nobody knows what's happening, and it looks like Gaddafi is going to beat the United States. I'm only interested in Libya if we keep the oil. If we don't keep the oil, I'm not interested. I don't know who the rebels are. You know, they make the rebels like it's some romantic, beautiful novel, the rebels. I hear the rebels are al-Qaeda. I hear they're Iran-backed and Iran-influenced. Where are they getting those weapons before we came along? From Iran.
Well, you can find out before you answer that question. Now here is Donald Trump saying, and here's where he starts to maybe lose me, because many other conservatives like myself agree, this birther issue is real weird, and the fact that these people keep it going and going and going. Now Donald Trump is weighing in, giving it renewed credibility. Let's listen as Trump says he doubts Obama was born in the United States.
3 weeks ago when I started, I thought he was probably born in this country. And now I really have a much bigger doubt than I did before.
But based on what?
And you know what? He doesn't have a birth certificate, or he hasn't shown it. He has what's called a certificate of live birth. That is something that's easy to get.
But it's considered the equivalent. And in the
It's not the equivalent.
In the state of Hawaii, they said they have seen this document. It is evidence that he was born in the United States. That's good enough for them. Scholars have looked at it.
A birth certificate is not even close. A certificate of live birth is not even signed by anybody. I saw his. I read it very carefully. Doesn't have a serial number. Doesn't have a signature. There's not even a signature.
All right. Vieira pushes Trump on the birth certificate issue.
Do you believe he's
lying? I'm starting to think that he was not born here.
Do you believe he's lying, Donald? Come on, just
answer. He spent $2 million in legal fees trying to get away from this issue. And if he weren't lying, why wouldn't he just solve it? And I wish he would, because if he doesn't, it's one of the greatest scams in the history of politics and in the history, period. You are not allowed to be a president if you're not born in this country. He may not have been born in this country. And I'll tell you what, 3 weeks ago I thought he was born in this country. Right now I have some real doubts.
This is why Donald Trump is not going to get elected president of the United States, among many reasons. He's not listening to the questions that are being asked. He's not answering them accurately. And you know what? I'm in favor of Obama showing the birth certificate, too. And every other guy that ran for president in 2008. Every other guy that ran for president in 2008. You know, let's get this out on the table. I'm getting sick and tired of this issue. So, Obama, show me that birth certificate. You too, McCain. You too, Romney. You too, Richardson. All of you guys. Let's see it. Hillary, everyone. Trump is asked if he is a Tea Partier.
I think so. I'm very proud. I'm very proud of some of the ideas they put forth. And the big idea is they want to stop this ridiculous, absolutely killer of spending that's going on. What's going on in this country, the way we're spending money like drunken sailors, we are just absolutely going, and ultimately we're going to destroy our own freedom.
But
we
they want to stop it even at the cost of shutting down the government.
Well,
that's a possibility. Are you in favor of
that? It's not really shutting down the government. It's cutting costs.
Exactly. And now he got back to the good stuff again. So I don't know. If he wants to make the birther thing an issue, he's going to have to go all the way with it then. If you want to bring the birther thing up, you got to go all the way with it, because people are going to label him a weird ass. He may be right. You know what? If he is right, then he's got to go all the way with it. If he brings up the birther thing, but he doesn't go all the way with it, he doesn't make it a major point, then people are going to say he's just a weird ass. But all of the other stuff he says, I completely 100% agree with. I just wonder if a private industry autocrat like Donald Trump has the temperament to be a president. Work with the Congress, all of that stuff. Look at, man. You know, I would love it if those cats were moving a lot faster, you know?
Yeah, but he can tell them what to do and everything.
Obama tried to tell them what to do. You think they don't listen to presidents. They say, thank you very much, Mr. President. It's very nice. But guess what? You don't make policy. You don't create law. You don't appropriate money. So bug off, baby. Go get yourself another one of them hamburgers. All right, coming up, lawmakers are weighing in with what to do with their paychecks in case the government shuts down, because the Constitution says... Because there were a lot of people, very rightfully so, asking, okay, I want to see those lawmakers start getting paid. Guess what? The Constitution says, no, you may not. You must pay them. However, they're going to try to find a way around that. Plus, do you ever wonder why you can't stop the coffee cravings? Well, it's genetics. Do you think it's your brain? No, it's another organ. What are you doing?
This one?
Why, you dirty... Boy, man, I can't believe that. We'll be right back. Phil Henry Show.
Radio for Patriots by Patriots. It's the Phil Henry Show. Radio for Patriots by Patriots. It's the Phil Henry Show.
Let me tell you something, bud. Thank you and welcome back. World famous Phil Henry Show, Radio for Patriots by Patriots. Let me tell you something.
You just went Radio for Patriots. Yeah, say it clear and stuff.
Hey, man, he knows what he's doing. Hold on. Really? Thank you very much for that advice.
Hey.
Now, I got to tell you something, bud. It is not considered funny. In fact, it's considered pretty weird. I mean, like, you may need a doctor to do what you did.
Yeah, but you said it. What organ is it? It seemed like a perfect time for to you know, give it a little air.
To give it a little air.
Man, you are weird, man.
What doesn't make me weird just because I come up with something funny?
No, that's not funny. It's very strange, and it makes me worry about you, and it makes me want to commit you to a mental institution, okay? Remember the conversation we had once that it's funny, certain things are funny, and certain things are, like, mental?
Yeah.
So, like, some guys may, you know, pee their name into someone's front lawn. That's sort of funny, although it, you know, kills the grass. But then doing the other thing, that ain't funny?
Yeah.
Well, that's...
You ain't saying I'm all right.
It's weird. All right, back to the Phil Henry Show here. Don't forget our website, philhenryshow.com. Now, archaeologists discover first-ever gay caveman in Czech Republic. Critic angry at sexual stereotyping and claims the caveman was transgender. All right, what is the sexual stereotyping? You're going to find out, and then you'll probably understand why the critic would rather believe that this fossil, which is somewhere in the neighborhood of 5,000 years old, that means the 2,000 years back to the birth of Christ, and then add on another 2,500 to 3,000 years before that, and that's how far back we're going. It was, God, I don't know my periods, but 3,000 years before the birth of Christ wasn't Moses hanging around in those days? Anyway, archaeologists in the Czech Republic have dug up the 5,000-year-old skeleton of what they think may be the world's first known gay caveman.
Gay caveman? Yeah, but that Jesus didn't live in Czechoslovakia.
Now, I know Jesus didn't live in Czechoslovakia. We ain't even talking about Jesus. It's 3,000 years before him. Jesus didn't live in Czechoslovakia.
What if that was there? How do they know? Okay, never mind.
Yeah, Jesus was the Middle East, man, because they identify the towns.
Why wasn't Czech Republic?
I don't know, man. God sent him to the Middle East. Why wasn't it the Czech Republic? Because back then, the Czech Republic was a wilderness, because it wasn't civilized, because it was a bunch of Teutons running around with spears.
What's a Teuton?
Like a Germanic guy. They were running around with spears. They had leather loincloths on. They were not civilized human beings. They were eating meat with their hands. And the Romans, you know, although 3,000 years prior to the birth of Christ, it was the Roman Republic, but they were the most civilized thing in the neighborhood. Now, don't keep interrupting me. Scientists who found this body, which dates back to between 2900 and 2500 BC, said they suspect the caveman may have been a homosexual. Why? Because he was buried in a way normally reserved for women of the era. The cave dweller was placed in his grave with his head pointed eastward, along with several domestic pots and jugs, according to scientists. Now, men of this era were typically buried pointing westward, surrounded by weapons such as battle axes, knives, and other tools. The suspected gay caveman did not have any weapons or tools in his grave. From history, and this is now a scientist speaking, Kamila Rimazova-Vesanova. Boy, I said that real good, too.
Yeah, you said that good, man.
Anyway, from history and ethnology, we know that people from this period took funeral rites very seriously, so it's highly unlikely that this positioning was a mistake. These people took it very, very seriously.
That they point a guy's head in a certain direction.
Exactly. So if they point a man's head in a direction that ordinarily a man's head is not supposed to be pointed in, and he doesn't have weapons, and he has more of a domestic type thing, well, thinking, you know.
But I met a guy like, you know, he was a wife.
Well, let's just read on. I don't want to apply a lot of modern-day jackball gay jokery to, the science of archaeology. But nonetheless, the man lived during, the man lived during the Copper Age, that's what they called it, in what is known as the corded ware culture, which flourished throughout most of Europe during the Stone, Copper, and Bronze Ages. The culture received its name because its craftsmen often adorned pottery with corded decorations, meaning that kind of raised design on the pot. Archaeologist Semradova said in a press conference on Tuesday that scientists have discovered similar cases before, including one in which a female warrior was buried as a man, and others were prehistoric witch doctors were buried in a style typically reserved for women. But this later discovery was neither of those, leading us to believe the man was a soda and chocolate enthusiast. What the hell is this, bud?
Ain't that the story?
You got it mixed up with another. The man was a soda and chocolate enthusiast. Now I ain't got it.
I'll find it.
Well, leading them to believe that the man was sexually, his orientation was of the gay...
gayness.
The gay gayness. Now, one of the critics has said, no, that's jive, and that's really bad, and why? How dare you? Just because the cat's gay doesn't mean that he liked pots and pans and cooking. That is a stereotype. It's possible he was transgender.
Well, I don't understand.
Well, here's the thing. Just because you're gay doesn't mean you want to hang around in the kitchen and cook. You could be gay and like hunting. You could be gay and be buried with all of these weapons. All right?
Yeah, but what they found a guy making out with another guy, and you say, we're going to put you in a girl's grave.
Well, it doesn't make sense, man, that they found him making out with a guy. You mean as punishment? I mean, they're going to bury the guy for what the guy was. So this critic says, why are you not considering the possibility that this individual is transgender? What does that mean? A man who lived as a woman, a man who affected the clothing of a woman, a man who affected the mannerisms of a woman, a man who was, in point of fact, psychologically, mentally, spiritually, a woman in a man's body. And so that was a little bit of controversy. The reason why I don't think it's a big thing, and I'm sure it really hurts if you're gay and, you know, you hear these kind of stereotypes, go, oh, wow, what a drag, I wish you knew more about us. I don't think these scientists meant any harm. I think that they're scientists. They're extremely insular archaeologists. I don't think these cats are necessarily up on the social realities of the world, and I think we ought to just cut them a break, you know. This poor scientist, I don't know what I did wrong, Dr. Svendlund. They said that I called the man. Well, you said that he, you know, this guy is going to be staying awake drinking now, worried that he upset somebody. All right, we're coming back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Dodgers are about to get a bigger police presence, courtesy of the LAPD. Plus, we'll tell you why you feel addicted to caffeine, and I'm a big caffeine addict. Let's find out about this together coming up next on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.
Radio for Patriots by Patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show.
You guys don't make any sense.
Hey, man, I make plenty of sense trying to explain it to you.
I really don't get it either.
Well, look, here it is. All right, welcome back to the show, the Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL. And online at philhendryshow.com right now, live streaming video of the show. And we have, along with our broadcast and my passably handsome face, we have our news video up in the background. Now, here's what they're saying, man. They're saying the following thing. And I believe that this scientist, this woman, her name is Rosemary Joy. She's a professor of social science. She's not an archaeologist. She's not even an anthropologist. But she is making a point. She's saying this. Wait a second. So, in other words, you guys see a male skeleton with crockery and kitchenware, and he's buried in the direction of a female, so you're going to assume he's gay? Which is to say the following thing. If that man were gay, but he was a warrior, and he used swords, and he used bows and arrows, and he dressed as a man, and behaved ostensibly as a man... would he still be buried in that fashion? So what she's saying is, this must have been a man who acted very female, presented very female, in other words, a transgender or transsexual or transvestite, some male who was the who decided or was a part of the female culture of the of that tribe or that, you know, that city or that village. So, you know,
you're like Ed Wood.
Not like Ed Wood.
Ed Wood, man, what are you talking about?
Well, you're talking about like a guy dressing like a woman.
No, but more than that, man. I'm talking about a guy that is identifying as a woman. All right? That's what probably was going on. And, I, you know, she's making a good point because homosexuality, we think of it as something that in modern times, of course, there's a huge controversy about it. But we have no idea how homosexuality was viewed in some cultures. In some cultures, they didn't give a damn. In some cultures, it was not stigmatized. Rome, as we were just on the subject of the Roman Empire, they didn't give a, they didn't care, so long as you were upholding the, you know, you were maintaining your social and you know, administrative standing. So anyway, that's that, and we're all done with that story. So
was it a gay guy?
What she's saying is possibly it was a transsexual or transgender guy. All right, I got to get to this story here because we promised this. Lawmakers weigh giving up paychecks if shutdown forces federal furlough. Now, that's pretty interesting because guess what? With Congress headed for a showdown, or a shutdown rather, unless a spending deal is reached, lawmakers are trying to find this, or make this failure of government seem a tad less offensive to everyday Americans by vowing to give back part of their $174,000 paychecks. We just did a whole hour with Chris, 2 hours with Chris Norton talking about this very thing, and we kept on saying, oh, no, they get their paychecks taken away too. Well, not so fast, Phil, because the Constitution does not allow for that. At least that's my understanding is. I got that information from my producer, and this news story doesn't really make any reference to it. But they're weighing what to do with their paychecks in case the government shuts down. Now, where is this stuff, the 27th Amendment, no law varying the compensation for the services of the senators and representatives shall take effect until an election of representatives shall have intervened. Okay, well, an election of representatives has intervened. It's called the 2010 elections. So they ain't got a problem there. The fact that hundreds of thousands of federal workers could be furloughed while by law the members of Congress who caused the problem would continue to get paid is a cruel twist in the mechanics of a shutdown. In response, lawmakers have floated several ideas for docking their own pay. Daryl Issa, who is independently wealthy, told Fox News he already gives his salary away to charity. But regardless of economic situation, he urged the colleagues to follow suit and turn away their paychecks if the government shuts down. Members should not be saying, well, I need my money, when in fact other federal workers aren't getting it. Mark Warner, who is a Democrat from Virginia, who also is a millionaire, plans to either decline pay or donate it to charity if there's a shutdown, according to FoxNews.com. Michelle Bachmann said she will donate her pay to a nonprofit serving military families. Senator Joe Manchin of West Virginia made a similar pledge, passing around a letter to colleagues Thursday urging them to be as cool as him and join him in returning their paychecks. I'm just joking about that, but sometimes
they're looking, man, to look real good.
Yeah, they're you know, sometimes they can't help but feel, I am turning back my paycheck and I urge my colleagues to. The bottom line is this. I can't imagine that the president, vice president, or any member of Congress, Republican or Democrat, thinks they should get paid when the government has shut down, Manchin wrote. Not everyone's signing on, however. On the House side, Linda Sanchez, a Democrat, told MSNBC she can't afford it. As a matter of fact, we have Linda Sanchez here, some audio from an interview conducted with Representative Sanchez on MSNBC. Here she says she is unable to give up her congressional paycheck.
I have to tell you that I live paycheck to paycheck like most Americans. I'm still paying off my student loans. I have a 2-year-old son who I have to support, and I have to maintain residences on both coasts. It's very difficult for me to say, hey, I can give up my paycheck, because the reality is I have financial obligations that I have to meet on a month-to-month basis that doesn't make it possible for me.
Now, when I listen to her, and I hear all kinds of comments from people when it comes to the elected representatives, they're you know, they're not flattering. People think they're crooks. People think they're liars. People think they're all kinds of things. I mean, the vitriol, the hate, H-A-T-E, hate. I happen to think that elected representatives are patriotic people. Maybe that makes me stupid. I don't think so, because I don't paint them all with the same brush. But when I listen to a congressperson, you know, say those things, I ask myself this question. Some people will say, well, isn't she patriotic that she puts her family through this hardship so she can serve her country? Yeah. Or you can also say, what are you doing?
Yeah, but then you want to have older guys who got money.
Well, this is why we have older guys who have money, or older women who have money. You see? And so I would, you know, if you don't like the fact that Congress people are tend to be older and very wealthy, listen to what that woman just said. Well, I'm young, and I ain't wealthy. I need this money, but I'm also in Congress. Should I not be? Should I not run for Congress? Would you rather than an older guy with bread? Is that what you want? I don't know. What do you want? And the message we send to our congresspeople is pretty squirrely. I mean, we're not exactly consistent with what we're saying. We don't like these rich guys are on the... Well, then we say that they're all on the take, but we don't like the fact that they're rich, and we don't like the fact that, you know, they got to take their money, and they should go hungry if everybody else is going hungry. But by the same token, why do they... You know, and, I mean, it seems like we make requests and demands of congresspeople that are mental. Mental as in crazy, as in psycho. Now, if you're a member of Congress who's a millionaire, and there are quite a few members of the House and Senate that are, it's really not a problem for them, said Sanchez. Some lawmakers have tried to require the members of Congress don't get paid in the event of a shutdown. They shouldn't be getting paid, just like federal employees shouldn't be getting paid, said John Boehner. But John Boehner didn't read the Constitution like we just did for you right now here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. If you're going to alter the pay of a congressperson, there needs to have been an election intervening, and there was an election intervening. So the Constitution also, by the way, provides that laws changing congressional pay don't take effect until the following term. So meaning we've had one requirement, which was an election intervened. Now they're going to change their pay. But the 27th Amendment requires one more thing. That effect... The changing of pay will not take effect until the next term. So if you're a congressperson, you were elected in 2010, good for you. You just voted, let's cut our pay because this sucks. That doesn't take effect now. It takes effect in 2012. So that maintains the, you know, congressional election intervening. Same thing with the senators, except they are elected every 6 years. So it would seem, ladies and gentlemen, that our founding fathers have guaranteed that Congress people get paid regardless of what we like or what we think is best or what we think is fair. Now, some of them are trying to cobble together something that will be constitutional, but in reading the 27th Amendment here, I mean, and I know it pisses people off. Well, how come these guys are getting paid and there's cats and I just don't believe it. It's so unfair and it just isn't right. You know, there was a very smart guy. Let's see, who was it?
I think it was Dennis Miller.
Dennis Miller, that's right, who said, I'm kidding, but no, I'm not kidding about you being smart, Dennis, but if all these people take back our country, you want to take back the country? Vote. There, you can take back the country, and if you don't like the job the guy's doing, vote. We're always looking for a shortcut, man.
Well, yeah, but I mean, they're getting money they shouldn't, and that's wrong.
We're always looking for a shortcut. I don't like the fact he's getting money. We don't want to vote the guy out because that would mean we actually have to organize voters and put a candidate up opposing the guy. That would mean we'd have to go out and do some actual work. So what we want to do is find some shortcut. Let's pass a law that says only in this one instance are we able... Oh, horse dung, man. It takes far more than just that. Term limits. One of the worst ideas that we've ever had. Now, I understand that we have term limits on the president. But I personally think that when you limit terms, what you're basically saying is this. The voters are too busy, too stupid, too self-involved, too whatever, to really pay attention to the leadership of this country and what's going on. So let's put in term limits as a stopgap for how dopey some people can vote. Man, I don't get that at all. I mean, that to me is really weird. Why the American people would sit still for term limits. That's the, you talk about nanny state. That's the ultimate nanny state. Why do I have a term limit? Because you're too stupid to figure out whether we have an elected representative that's good enough, so we have to put in a term limit to save ourselves from ourselves. Now, the presidential term limits, I don't agree with those either.
Are you kidding me, man? I mean, Franklin Roosevelt, he got elected four times.
He might have gotten elected four times. Guess what happened on the fourth time? He died. People do die.
Yeah, but they're afraid of having a dictator and stuff.
Oh, get out of here. You know, one of the stupidest preoccupations of some people is that America will fall into the hands of a dictator. Have you ever seen a country less ready to give it over to a dictator than the United States of America? Have you ever seen a country less ready to be conned or fooled than the American people, even though we accuse each other of being conned and fooled all the time? We love to refer to each other as sheep. And, you know, I mean, I can only quote our dear mothers by saying when you point one finger at, you know, somebody, you're pointing three back at yourself. The very people that talk about sheep are sheep, only they're drinking a different kind of Kool-Aid, which brings me to something else. It wasn't Kool-Aid. It was Flavor-Aid.
That's right, man.
All right, we'll be back here in a... You didn't know that?
Yeah.
It was Flavor-Aid. We'll be back here in a world-famous Phil Hendry show, 877-876-PHIL. Flavor-Aid.
Winning.
Right after this.
Radio for Patriots,
yeah.
By Patriots.
Oh, he said that,
man. It's the Phil Hendry Show.
Jim Jones was in the pavilion and he said,
winning.
Pass out the Kool-Aid, Flavor-Aid.
Radio for Patriots. By Patriots, it's the Phil Hendry Show.
The guys are looking at, there's a war-torn Libya story that was on, and they were looking at the camera guys, right? Is that what you're looking at, bud?
Yeah, that one guy in a camera, what happens if there's a bomb or anything about that?
I guess he gets blown to bits.
Are you kidding?
No, I'm not kidding. What do you think? There's some kind of the guy's got like a shield around him, like from Star Trek?
Yeah, but he's in the press.
I don't care. They'll kill your ass as fast as they'll kill anybody else. They'll kill you. What do you mean? You think the guy's protected because he has a camera?
Yeah, but don't they have press pass and everything?
They may have a press pass. They may have a camera. They may have a lot of things. And they're still going to get killed. If they're standing there next to the soldiers that are fighting, and they got their little camera, and some guy fires one of those RPG rockets, you're dead. You know?
Wow.
Yeah, so... I mean, that's a dangerous job. It's a being a combat journalist, and the guys die. Ernie Pyle was a famous World War II combat journalist. People may know the name, they may not, but he was very famous in World War II. Ernie Pyle never made it back from Europe. He died over there. And there were a lot of writers and reporters who were killed, not just in World War II. We lost a lot of them in the Vietnam War, women and men. I don't know if journalists were killed in the Gulf War. I don't know. This whole idea of embedding a journalist with different combat groups may be a safe thing. It may not. I don't know if it protects the reporter or not. But, you know, you're not a combatant. You don't carry a weapon. The only thing you can rely on is you're with a group of men who are armed, and somehow that will protect you. But some of these guys, they wind up getting killed, you know. And if you're in an aircraft that gets shot down.
Didn't you say Ernest Hemingway and everything?
What about Ernest Hemingway?
You said he was a combat man, too.
Ernest Hemingway was in, is, well, yeah. What do you guys know about Ernest Hemingway?
He wrote all them books and everything like they were talking about.
Ernest Hemingway was a great writer. One thing that he wasn't was a great war correspondent.
What about that?
Well, Ernest Hemingway... You know, we all know Ernest Hemingway from being kids. We read his stuff, and he's a legendary American writer. You know, The Sun Also Rises, For Whom the Bell Tolls, you know, all those books.
Well, I never read any of them, but...
You never read any of them, but you know who Ernest Hemingway is.
Yeah.
Anyway, but war correspondent, he wasn't. In fact, Ernest Hemingway was considered by the other writers to be a little bit of a joke. He was, you know, by World War II, Ernest Hemingway had made his initial celebrity. Now he's over there on a little motorbike, and he's scurrying about the French countryside after the Allied forces landed. And not really doing much of anything other than drinking wine in cafes and walking around with a machine pistol, which was against the Geneva Accord.
What does that mean? Because he's a writer?
If you're a journalist, you cannot carry a weapon. You cannot. You are a non-combatant, and you're protected, supposedly. I mean, you're going to get killed, but... And Hemingway is walking around Paris after the Allies took the city, and he's got a machine pistol. And they even attempted to torture a German soldier. Now, look, I don't, you know, what's going to happen is going to happen. But this was a 19-year-old kid. He was scared to death. He is a young German who's suddenly surrounded by all these French underground guys. And here comes Ernest Hemingway with a machine pistol and a candle.
What's he going to do with that?
He was going to hold it under the kid's feet and start torturing this kid and asking him questions. And so what happened was the other writers that were there, and there were a group of journalists, came over and they said, you know what, Papa, or whatever the hell they called him, cool this out, man. And they took this freaking candle away from him. They also took the pistol away from him because not long after that came some army personnel, some officers. If they'd seen him with that gun, he would have been in big, big trouble. No doubt he would have been sent back to the States, but before that, they probably would have prosecuted him for something. So I don't know why you guys asked me about that.
Well, you're talking about all these writers and everything.
Yeah, Ernest Hemingway was not a good war. He was a great writer and a phenomenal, phenomenal name in the history of American letters and literature. But as a war correspondent, he was looked upon as a joke. They called him General Ernest or General Ernie, something like that. I mean, it was a joke. And I think the guy just dug the romance of it, you know.
What about that place Sloppy Joe's? You ever been on to that?
What is it with you guys and Ernest Hemingway, man?
I don't know, man. You had that tape laying around, like Ernest Hemingway lookalike contest.
Well, so, okay, I don't know. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I've been to Sloppy Joe's. Yeah.
What's that like?
You know, but if you're really interested in Ernest Hemingway, why don't you read some of his books?
That's a good idea.
I don't want to read his books. I just want to know about him and everything. He's got a beard. Did he have a beard, too?
Yeah, he had a beard and everything.
Bitch, he got drunk in that slop house.
It wasn't called Slop House. It was Slop House. The actual original Sloppy Joe's is down the street from the one they use now. They got a big one. It's a big-ass bar, and that's the one they call Sloppy Joe's. But the real one is down about a half a block from there, and it's... You know, Key West is really cool, and Key West is beautiful, and Key West is a party-hardy place, and the people there are even more sunbaked and chilled out than the most chilled-out sunbaked cats you're going to meet in California. I mean, you go down to Key West, and what was that one guy I met? I was telling about him, Robert?
Yeah, he said, I barely got a sentence out.
This guy was like, yeah, well, you know.
Good thing he wasn't doing the credits in the show.
Oh, yeah. Produced by Jason Rantz, technical director Rick Johnson, associate producer Dan Northcraft, world-famous Phil Hendry Show, online at philhendryshow.com. See you tonight. Anyway, if you go down the street, you'll see a house. And there's a big orange ball on top of it.
Phil Hendry.